fighting for America.
The federal agents informed the crowd that if they kept advancing, they would open fire on the crowd.
It was scary to think that shots could be fired. It definitely was scary. Everyone was thinking, could this be another Ruby Ridge? Could this be another Waco?
Fighting for Idaho.
We're starting to realize that we have a government with unlimited power.
The BLM come to decimate us and to reduce us to absolute despotism.
Fighting for you.
Morgan, Kevin, I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you for real journalism.
Kevin, I just wanted to thank you for going to Nevada and getting the truth to us.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
You're the only talk show that I really listen to.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. We'll get to Terry from State College in a minute. We'll get to our guest in a minute as well. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to Tea Party Bob at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Living the dream.
I hear you're going to be down there at the St. Vincent de Paul, huh? You're not going to be in the dunk tank. I would have come down if you were.
You're going to be in the dunk tank. We need some celebrities. We're going to be at Terry, please sit down. Terry, sit down. You're a guest here. Thank you. What was I going to say? No, we're going to be at Bishop Kelly from 12 to 6 tomorrow. I'll be there around 3, but it's a great cause. The St. Vincent de Paul Society does wonderful work. Plus, the reverse raffle where you can win, was it $15,000 or a new car?
Well, I may just come down there and keep you company for a little bit.
Please do. I guess there's some good barbecue, so.
Oh, that'd be good stuff.
That'll be good. You can help me. Have you ever hosted a reverse raffle?
No, I've seen a reverse economy, but not a reverse raffle.
Well, then you can you can co-host it with me. And maybe you can sell some Tea Party Bob merchandise.
No. I'm out of that business.
Oh, boy.
You know, I wanted to talk about the unemployment rate being down to 6.3%.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, you know. That's why I'm unemployed, right?
Exactly.
You got to be kidding us with this unemployment rate. It's a real joke. You know, go to any of the 24% of the college students that think the unemployment rate is 6.3%, and they'll let you know that it's not 6.3%. You know, we literally have millions of Americans that have given up looking for a job. You know, that's why we have the numbers we have. The underemployment rate, however, is doubled. I mean, even here in Idaho, we have an underemployment rate of 10.5%, which means people have to work 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet. But our unemployment rate is 5.4%. Those are not good numbers. You know, how can you grow an economy when a manufacturing base that we used to have has left the country for cheaper labor and less regulations? Do we really encourage economic growth when we write huge amounts of regulations each and every year and inhibit companies from creating new jobs in our country? Just a couple of years ago, Intel wanted to build a new plant up in the Northwest, and the chairman said they couldn't build it in the U.S. because it would cost over $1 billion more than to build it overseas. This is what's killing us. We got a Senate that's trying to pass a minimum wage bill at $10.10 an hour. We got Obamacare, which is going to cost employers billions more to comply with the regulations. You got an EPA that's infringing on every part of our lives. Farmers that are supposed to pay for their calves' flagellation and then take care of the controlling the dust when they plow the fields. You got a coal industry that's going out of business because of air quality regulations. You got the Fundies and the Hades that are getting the land taken by the BLM. Where does this stop?
You're bringing me down.
I mean, you know, Idaho can't get out of their own way. A governor talks about creating new jobs in Idaho, but all we get are call centers and Chobani yogurt paying $12.50 an hour. Why is it from 1999 to 2006 our GDP here in Idaho grew by almost $18 billion, and in the last 7.5 years, it only grew at $6 billion? Get government out of the way, and we will create jobs.
All right. Thank you, Tea Party Bob. Jump State Patriot, new issue just out.
Take care, buddy.
All right. We go from Tea Party Bob to Solar Jim at 580KIDO. Hello, Solar Jim.
Oh, good morning, Kevin. Nice to hear you. I'll look for you tomorrow. Bishop Kelly is sort of next door to where I live, and I'll wander over there around 3 as well.
Oh, hold on for a minute. Are you done pouring yourself coffee, Terry? I mean, come on, quit being so rude here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, this guy just shows up here. We have no security in this building.
Well, And I wanted to make people aware.
About not having security. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's get to your talking points. You know, we have a guest here who wants to talk about something very important, and all we've got is your talking points, Tea Party Bob and Terry pouring coffee.
Well, what kind of security do you think you need?
Well, we need a lot of security. I need some guys from the Bundy Ranch, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you need, plus, is that a gun-free zone, by the way? You know, they need...
I can't disclose that.
They need lots of security because they can't keep gun-free zones gun-free.
All right, anyway. Solar Jim, I'm getting distracted here.
Yes. So let me tell you what people have not been talking about with regard to Clive and Bundy's the misinterpretation of his quote-unquote racist comments. You'll recall you were at Idaho Chooses Life banquet a couple of months ago. And we had an absolute outstanding speaker, Star Parker. And I went out there early because I wanted to meet her, and I actually got to meet her and talk with her for 4 or 5 minutes. She wrote an outstanding book called Uncle Sam's Plantation. And I'm telling you, it is an outstanding read. And for those who don't know...
Wait a minute. Come on. Now, come on, what? Solar Jim. From Tom Munns promoting his platforms to Tea Party Bob promoting the Tea Party Bob economic newsletter to you promoting Star Parker. This ain't the Oprah Club.
All right. Let me just put it this way.
Oh, my goodness.
I won't mention her name again.
No, it's fine, but we got to get going here. What do you got? People are tuning in and out. This is my livelihood. I'm serious. I make my living on compelling content, and Star Parker's book review ain't cutting it. With all due respect, why is my voice getting so high? Wait. That's Sweet Country.
Have you considered a high-paying acting job? You're doing great right now.
I got issues.
Anyway, the educational point is that Uncle Sam's various welfare food stamps, where we just pay people to do nothing, is an absolutely horrific program where we are destroying more lives than we are helping.
All right, Solar Jim.
That
was a hint. It's time to go.
All right, very good, Kevin. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. All started with Terry goofing off. All right, joining us now, Cynthia Young Fackrell, author of Gravity's Embrace, a true unsolved mystery surrounding an Alaskan pilot. Thank you for being so patient with us.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks.
So talk a little bit about what brings you here and this great book that you've written.
Well, I just want to get the message out. It's about my brother, a true personal story about my brother who was piloting his own plane in Alaska when he went missing for 10 months. And he did not survive, but his plane was found burned and he had crashed. It was found by two hikers. So, you know, I understand what it's like to have somebody missing in your life. So we spent 10 months searching to find any clue. And actually, there was not much of anything. There was actually another plane missing at the same time. So there were two in the search. But 2 weeks of searching, and then they're like, okay, you're on your own. So then we had to continue ourselves.
So when you hear the story about the Malaysian airliners disappearing, what goes on in your mind? Does that bring the memories back?
Oh, yeah. I feel for the families big time. It's such a... Well, you know, I was thinking about it, and I came up with two thoughts. And first of all, you're paralyzed by disbelief. And second, you're driven by urgency.
Well, let's delve into that. When you first got the message that your brother was missing, what was that like? What was that day like?
It was a number of days. I actually was the last one to see him. I sent him on his way, took him to his plane, and I watched him fly off, and was hoping that he said if the weather was bad, he would come back, and he would give me a call, but I never received the call. So it was about 3 days waiting for him, calling my older brother who lives in Homer, which he was flying from North Pole, which is out of Fairbanks, to Homer, which is about 600 miles. So he, I was calling my older brother saying, is he there yet? Is he there yet? And he's like, no. So he left on a Friday afternoon. By Sunday night, I was like, I'm going to start a search. I don't know what's happened to him. He might be angry with me if he's stuck somewhere, but no word, so you got to do something. So, yeah, I wrote in the book how I went to bed that night knowing I'd started something big. And didn't know where it was going to go from there, but...
Well, again, gravity's embrace. Let's talk a little bit about the emotions of dealing with the loss.
Oh, the emotions are all over the place. Mostly it's shock. You're just, it's like, how could this be happening to me? You know, it's like you read about it, just like everybody else says it has a tragedy. You read about other people it happening to them, but then it's you. So it's like, it's always somebody else, but then meet somebody, you're somebody else, that it's somebody else. And it is very emotional, but like I said, you're kind of numb at the time too, trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. And for us, it was kind of like the Malaysian airliner, that you go to the authorities, you're trying to get somebody to help you to know what direction to go in. And since I'd never had it happen to me, who do I talk to? So I originally called, I believe it was the FAA, and they initiate the search. So, yeah, it's not a fun scenario to be in at all.
Now, what did you learn?
What did I learn in regards to...
This experience.
Well, I've had a lot of death in my life, and in reading this or writing this book, I came to the realization that that was a lesson for me, and to learn that goodbyes lead to new hellos. I would not be here talking to you today had I not had this experience and all the other experiences in my life.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Again, it's great that you're getting your message out, but I mean, the first 5 minutes, you got Tea Party Bob, you got Solar Jim, you got Terry over here who knows what he's doing. So hopefully we can ramp up that experience, but... Tell us a little bit more about appreciating life. Has this experience caused you to not take life for granted? I'm not saying you did beforehand, but we always hear from people that life is so precious.
Well, I'll tell you what. My father came up that summer to continue the search on his own because we were left as a family to figure this mystery out ourselves. So when he came up, he spent all his time... He was completely consumed with this search. Now, mind you, I'm married and I have three young children at the time. So I have that I have to take care of as well as I want to be part of the search. But I can't neglect my family to, put all my time into the search. My father was so consumed with it that he didn't really pay attention to us. I didn't feel like he appreciated those of us that were still here. And that's what it taught me, that the people that are still here in your life, you need to love and hug and appreciate the ones that have moved on, passed on. Yes, they're still in your life. You have to pay attention because they are. But you're still here. You have a job to do. And you need to make sure you love and let the people around you know that you love them.
More coming up next at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
The D&B Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Cynthia Young Fackrell with us. Gravity's Embrace, a true unsolved mystery surrounding an Alaskan pilot. What's Alaska like?
Alaska is majestic and magical. There's just no place like it. I don't know. It's almost, you almost can't say, there's almost not words good enough for it. So it's just gorgeous.
Is it big?
It's huge. Yeah. There was always a joke up there about you can fit like two Texases because they're always, Texas is always talking how big they are.
Sure.
So
now what are you trying to accomplish with this book?
Well, I want the story out. My brother died young. In 2005, when my father passed away, I found my brother's journals, and I started reading them. And then when I started writing the book, I got to put his journal entries in there. So it's his story, my story, and my father's journal entries are in there as well. So It's all of our stories, but it's also, I don't know how to explain it more than I have to tell the story. The world needs to hear it. And part of it is the story, the Alaskan adventure, you know, and somebody gone missing. And the other part of it is the goodbyes lead to new hellos, you know, living with death.
Right. And when we take a look at what lessons does this play for your children?
You know, I've discussed that with them, and it's hard for them. They lived through it, but they were pretty young, and he was their favorite uncle. So it was difficult at the time, and I think it still is. They miss him. But, geez, I don't know. I think it's just a lesson for them in our family. Again, like I go back to loving one another and cherishing the time that we have here with each other.
We don't really appreciate that till it's over, do we?
No, because you don't think it's going to happen to you. Nobody thinks that, you know, you could walk out today and, you know, that's the thing I live with every day, that anytime I send somebody out the front door, they may not come back in.
At 580KIDO, for people listening right now, you know, involved in their lives, they're invulnerable, what would you say to them to reinforce that message?
I think that you need to stop and slow down. There's so much right now, at least what I'm reading and seeing, is you have to live in the now. We get so caught up in the future and what we got to do to, even myself, trying to promote my book, it's like, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? What's my agenda and what things am I doing? And I have to pull myself back into what am I doing right this minute, right now, is important. And that's when you're living. You're living right now. You're not living 2 hours from now. You're living right now. You have to enjoy the time and appreciate right now.
What was it like for you to get closure?
You know, it was really interesting because we were on vacation and we'd had some friends stop us and make us stay overnight in Anchorage. And my father was back in where we lived and was going to our house and doing laundry and stuff. And I was going to call him every night because this was before the age of cell phones. So I called him up and I was talking to him on the phone and there was a knock on my front door where my father was. And it was the SPs coming to tell us that they'd found my brother. So the first question out of my mouth was, is he alive? Because I was dead set that that's what was going to happen. So the police officer, SP, had to say, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, he isn't. And I wasn't upset. I think I was happy that he had been found, because the unknowing is worse than having them found, to know where they are, to have the answers. I think you would rather, I don't want to say that you would rather have them dead, but you would rather know. You would rather know that they have passed on than never knowing what happened to them.
What do you expect is going on in the minds of those people with the Malaysian airliners, the family members?
Well, they want answers. And right now, what they're doing now is sending everybody home. They're saying, don't stay here. We'll let you know when we find something out. But they want to know. And it's hard to leave. If somebody told me I had to move away from Alaska in the middle of all that, I would have been like, no way. I'll do whatever I have to do to stay here to find out. And I'm sure that's how they feel. They don't want to just go home and continue on with their lives, even though that's part of what they have to do. But they want to stay, I guess, probably as close to wherever it was that those people last were, until they get their answers. And I don't think that it doesn't matter whether you're Malaysian or Chinese or American. I think the feelings are, you know, human wide.
Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Just my message that I'd like it out that, you know, people need to enjoy life, love life, and when tragedies happen, you look for the little lights within it, because there are positives, there are miracles that are leading you on your path to do whatever it is you need to do. And it doesn't mean you won't grieve and go through hard times, but within those hard times, you're going to meet new people and new things are going to happen, and life is still going to be good.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
And again, if people want the book, the title of the book and where they can get it.
Gravity's Embrace. It is on my website at www.gravitiesembrace.com, as well as you can get it on Amazon, or you can find me. If you find me, I carry them around in my car.
All right. Well, watch out for Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
Wake up with Kevin Miller.
So I'm at the airport getting ready to go, and this guy, African-American, black guy, comes up to me and wants to sell me a credit card. And I go, that's okay, brother. I'm good to go. And it was right after the Donald Sterling thing. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, what did I do?
He ain't heavy.
He ain't heavy.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
He's my brother.
He's your brother. 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580KIDO. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about Benghazi and a little bit more about Common Core, a new ad going on talking about the benefits of Common Core. And we heard from Sherry Ibarra talking about that, you know, she's down with the Common Core. Joining us now, though, we go live to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby. Fox News Radio's Ron Flatter with the latest on the Derby. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Boy, you've been doing this for years, brother.
My eighth Derby.
Yep.
Not as long as a lot of people here. I mean, this is one sport where you get guys who've been doing this for 30 or 40 years. Yeah. So I'm just a kid here.
I bet you are, but I just somehow your name in the Derby has branded me over your 8 years of doing it. So
very good, very good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Even though you know, a lot of us are casual fans, this is a big deal. What makes this race so important?
It's been around for so long. It's a rite of spring. You know, it's spring when you know they're running for the roses. The weather gets better. This is horse country. This was original horse country at a time that this country was still forming. I mean, when you consider this race began 140 years ago, that puts it in 1875. The country wasn't 100 years old yet, and it still really had barely crossed the Mississippi with the Louisiana Purchase. So, you know, getting out to the West Coast with California and et cetera, and I guess that's only appropriate that gets us to California Chrome, who's the favorite for this race.
Does the TV coverage do Churchill Downs justice or not?
Yes and no. I mean, my first time here, I was experienced things that I hadn't seen on television. I think what you get when you come here is the sense that this isn't just for summer suits and spring dresses and big hats. It's also all about the guy who shows up here with the T-shirt and fleece and the jeans and shows up by the rail and has his racing form in his hand. Or as I'm sitting here on the backstretch, there's a lot of tailgaters. It looks like a football game tailgate. And you don't see a lot of suits. I mean, you see some here, but you see a lot of folks here just wearing in their, you know, their warm-up jackets that look like they just came from a baseball game. So that's the sense I get here. You get everything. I mean, you get a real slice of Americana here when you come to this.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that, Ron. I was thinking of the young ladies with the big hats, but you actually have, like, mm-hmm. people that are casual as well.
Oh, absolutely. I would say they outnumber the big hats and things like that, because people will show up here, and they've even asked the question, can you actually show up and not be wearing a suit or a dress? Well, sure you can. Absolutely. It's not like that. If you go into certain big-time rooms, the Millionaires Club and the Billionaires Club or whatever, yeah, you got to be dressed up a little bit, but you can show up, you know, just like you're, you know, going to the grocery store.
How athletic looking are the jockeys?
Very. I mean, they have to keep their weight down, and for some guys who maybe have a bigger body, they really have to work at it. But they are cut. I mean, these guys, just even the older guys, just look like they could. You wouldn't want to mess with them in a street fight. And the guy, if you ever shake a jockey's hand, the first thing you notice is how you might come away with maybe three of your five fingers.
Wow.
Because that is a grip. You see guys who may be smaller than you, and then all of a sudden you realize, now I get how they can control a half-ton animal.
Okay, Ron, let's break down the Derby. For those of us, again, that are, you know, casual fans counting on you to bring us home. What's going to happen?
Well, you got a lot of speed in this race. When I say that, that means a lot of horses are going to want to get out of the gate and have the lead. As many as, I could see five on my list here, and there's 19 in the race. So with that, you're going to look at those early fractions when they say, and the quarter was running 23 and however many fifths and a half mile and 45. Well, if it's under those numbers, that's going to make an interesting setup for maybe a closer to come back as those first horses tire, because you could get a speed duel or, you know, a speed five-way, and they could all tire themselves out, and then, you know, all of a sudden that opens it up for a closer and maybe even a deep closer. So you look at that, and then you see who's going to come from behind. California Chrome, the favorite, might want the lead, and he's been known to shuffle his feet a little bit at the start, and if he doesn't get going, then all of a sudden he's got to come from a little bit behind. He's shown an ability to do both, and that's one of the reasons he's a favorite. I mean, he won his last four races by an average of six lengths. So normally in a Derby, you look for a horse that can come from off the pace, really pick up steam in the home stretch. That's what Orb did last year. And California Chrome can seem to fit that profile. And there are others that do. I mean, we have 19 horses in this race, but pace makes the race. And if you see a bruising pace early on, you start to look for the closes a little bit more, and maybe something from a little farther off the pace.
Ron, finally, any long shots you want to share with us?
Well, that I want to share? No, if I have a long shot that I think is going to win that I want to share, I won't do it. No, I don't, actually, in that respect. But maybe a semi-long shot, Wildcat Red. I think if it weren't for a disqualification ahead and a neck, he'd be undefeated. And I grant you that the reason he's a long shot, 15-1 in the morning line, is because he's only raced at Gulfstream Park in Florida. If that doesn't translate to here at Churchill Downs, then he's going to be way up the track. But I think there's a chance that he will be able to be there, you know, at the end. He also is one of those horses that might want the lead a little too early, too. So if he's out there running away with it, then Altera might take it maybe midway through the race.
Ron, we appreciate your hard work and diligence. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Thank you. And look forward to the race.
Okay. Take care. Have a good time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. There you have it. Ron Flatter from Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. We go to Bob at 580KIDO. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Kevin. It's me, Bob and Bruno. We're going to hell in a handbasket. That's all I got to say.
I remember you.
Well, I'm glad you do.
Last time you were on, you called Tea Party Bob Ice Tea and started yelling at him.
Well, I can't remember that, but I thought I was talking to you. I was talking to your, I think it was Mr. Hannity there just a minute to answer the phone. And I just think this stuff about the schools locking you out is the craziest thing I think it has to do. I told him that Boise schools in the North End. I know how they are in the North End. You come out to Bruno, we'll let you come in anytime. I got the School of Hard Knocks here. We'll let you in.
You have a school out there?
School of Hard Knocks out here. Yeah, Bruno Sand Dunes School. Come out and see us. And my grandson goes there to that Kelly school, and they let you go out there and get away on a job. You interviewed him.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we'll be at Bishop Kelly tomorrow for the St. Vincent de Paul fundraiser.
Well, now, tell me this. Why can you go there, but the guys at Boise High down in North End won't let you in? And I know what it was, because you went over to that Bundy guy's place.
It's all Al Bundy, yes, Al Bundy. It's all speculation.
Well, it ain't speculation with me. I've seen this happen before in this dang city. It's just the craziest thing I've ever seen. So, Kevin, I hate to see this stuff slip through the cracks. You go out and make a stand with Al Bundy. You're out there with his cows. I heard you talking to a guy with horses just a minute ago. You get one of them Bundy horses in that Derby and look out, it'll be like Seattle Slough. But anyhow, I'm just telling you this thing. You should come down there, come out here to Bruno. I talked to the fella that helps you there, that Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
I fight over that Bundy thing. What's that?
Yes, Sean Hannity, yes.
I don't know who helps you out there, give you a hand. I don't know. So are you, I mean, can you do that? Remember when you went by our place when you went on that walk out to the Sun Valley there that time? You went right by our place.
I did. I remember it.
Well, I'm thinking you need to do that again, only let people know about it. Look, I pay tax dollars. I want you to come out and see our kids. I mean, our kids are our future, and if they're going to lock you out of the door, something's got to be done.
And you're just the guy to do it.
I don't know if I'm the guy to do it or not, but if somebody doesn't say something, I mean, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. My great-grandpappy told me that.
Great words.
Well, I think they are. This stuff frustrates the hell out of me, Kevin.
Terry from State College that showed up uninvited, he says to cut you. He says this is going nowhere.
Who's Terry from State Farm College? I'll tell him something.
What are you going to tell him?
You got your problems with that Chris Paul guy. Go back to State Farm College and learn something. Pass the ball.
And on that note, Bob, thank you for the call.
Well, all right, Kevin, and I'll see you. And darn you doing your gaggle of people tomorrow. I'll come bring coffee down.
We look forward to it, sir.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. There you have it. Bob weighing in. 848, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. That wasn't a laugh. That was a cough. Let's get you to work safely.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
853, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Joined by Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, who's watching TV. Let's get back to some of the issues here involving Benghazi. If you missed it, I'm sure Glenn will be covering this, but this is the attitude of the Obama administration. Let's take a listen.
To the emails and the timeline, sure. The CIA circulates new talking points after they've removed a mention of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And then at 6:21, the White House, you,
me,
add a line about the administration warning of September 10th of social media reports calling for demonstrations. True?
I believe so.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane process.
It is the thing that everybody is talking about.
We're talking about the process of editing talking points. That's what bureaucrats do all day long. Your producers edit scripts multiple times.
The key part is attacks to demonstrations.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No. What is the question? Did I edit attacks?
In the CIA talking points, it was edited from attacks to demonstrations.
No, Michael Morales testified about what he changed.
You know, that's almost worth another play. Here you have the arrogance of this young man from the Obama administration. We're talking about 4 dead Americans, and he's giving us the dude. Well, dude, tell that to the families of the 4 Americans. Tell that to the people that are outraged over, what difference does it make? Tell that to people that believe that we should never leave anyone behind. You know, yesterday, there was a general who testified. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
There are accounts of time, space, and capability, discussions of the question, could we have gotten there in time to make a difference? Well, the discussion is not could or could not of time, space, and capability. The point is we should have tried.
He's right. We should have tried. And Mr. Obama, instead of going to Las Vegas the next day, should have been on the phone with those folks' families.
How quickly did you come to the conclusion that you believe that there were Al-Qaeda affiliates or Al-Qaeda themselves involved and engaged in this attack?
Very, very soon, when we were still in the very early hours of this activity.
Was it a video?
No, sir.
Was it a video that sparked a protest?
No, sir.
That's the answer right there, isn't it? Dude, what difference does it make? Quite a bit, doesn't it? At 580 KIDO.
4 individuals died. Sir, we obviously did not respond in time to get there.
Could we have?
The gentleman's time has expired. Go ahead.
We may have been able to, but we'll never know.
To Terry, who's in here goofing off watching TV from State College, Pennsylvania, what do you think? Terry, you got to be ready. Come on, bro. You're sitting here goofing off. What do you think?
Kevin, I think we're in a sad state of affairs. I don't know what has happened. I'm very sad. That's all I've got to say at this time. I'm still taking it all in.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. Utterly amazing.
More coming up from State. Are you ready to go now? Are you with us? Mm-hmm. All right. We got some fire and brimstone from you next. Fire and brimstone with traffic. Whatever happened to me?
Yeah, I'm on sabbatical. I've been out of state, but I have heard every word you said on your show, and I was the Bundy Report. Kevin, I just wanted to promote tomorrow. There's a medical march that starts at the library around 3:30, quarter to 4, marches to the Capitol. They're going to have guest speakers that...
Medical march for what?
Medical marijuana.
So wait a minute. You called in here to promote dope?
Hey, Kevin. I love you, man. Your show, I listen to it from state to state, and the coverage you did on Bundy was great. I don't agree with Bundy. I think he's, I won't even talk about it right now, but everyone show up for that to help the sick and the disabled in the state of Idaho.
All right, good points.
You stay fired up.
All right, thank you. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. We'll see you tomorrow.